That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I like sucking.
Come on, man.
Legit bad podcast.
He has a legit bad.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
And hello. Oh, shit. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Legit Beth. I can't get a good intro.
Stellar.
Right. It's fine.
You're like, oh, hi. Oh, I mean, welcome to the show.
Yeah, if you've listened this far, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, our intros are never stellar.
But I'm Joe. Jen's over there.
Ben's
over there. We were going to try to live stream the show, and I don't even want to talk about my technical difficulties anymore and bore everybody to death. We'll just get right into it. But we had Bootsy Greenwood, a.k.a. Owen Hunt, on today. And go check his stuff out. He's on YouTube. He talks about it in the show, so you can fucking listen for yourself. Anything else? There's something I have to plug, I think.
Upcoming show, upcoming event.
We're going to be on Truthzilla tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be live streamed or not, but we're going to be going on a Rockfin exclusive with them tomorrow night.
Is that at 8?
Yeah, the 8 o'clock. Okay. If you're not on Rockfin yet, ROKFIN.com. Go there and get all of our shitty streams. But there's a bunch of other people that are worth the money actually on there. So go, yeah, check that. What?
And just to itemize us really quick, ROKFIN.com/legitbat for a direct link to our page. There are premium as well as some free videos on there. Go check us out, follow us, hit the subscribe button,
or you can hit the Patreon. I haven't been focusing on Patreon as much, but there are extended episodes, bonus episodes, other fun stuff we do on there, so check that out. patreon.com/legitbatpodcast. Oh, I'm getting so good at this. Anyway, we'll
also
get into the show.
There's a bunch of free audio on any major listening platform. Go give us a look.
Well, yeah, they know that because they're listening right now.
And enjoy the episode in all of its glory.
Bye.
Bye.
We have Mr. Owen Hunt, a.k.a. Bootsy Greenwood, in here today. He's going to talk about a little project he has, a course, he said. It's called Finding Purpose. We'll start out, though, with just a little info about you and who you are and what you do and how you got involved in this crazy group of people that we all are involved in.
I guess that was just a conversation with Mark Steves, and then I was the rest of that is just meeting everybody, I guess. but yeah, I'm really happy to be here. We kind of met on a Zoom call sort of thing, or that was like a bigger podcast. It was a Truthzilla podcast.
Yeah,
Truthzilla anniversary show, I think.
That's right. Yeah. And they are great. I really like their
Oh, they're awesome.
And I love what Mark has been trying to cultivate just community wise, you know.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's great. I love that people are connecting. That's been like the most positive thing to me that's happened since last year.
Oh yeah.
You know, that people really have like started to form communities. I saw G. Edward Griffin on Union of the Unwanted. I want to say it was like just about a year ago. And he was like like happy and excited. He was like, I'm so glad. He was like, I never thought I would actually get to see this happen in my lifetime. He's like, it's amazing. He's like, this is just the catalyst we need to begin to do our own thing, like to create our own systems.
Yeah.
And to start working outside of the system.
Yeah. Have you met a bunch of crazy people besides, I mean, us, you know, podcast people? We got to meet Tommy Chong, dude. We had Tommy Chong on our show. Like, it's been a weird year of meeting awesome people.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking rad, man. You had Tommy Chong. That's epic to have Tommy Chong on your podcast. I've been fortunate enough, like I went to the Red Pill Expo and then I went to Pork Fest. So I've been fortunate to meet some people in real life just recently. And that's been incredible, you know, and get to see some people speak who are really powerful, like Dr. Shiva Ayudurai. He spoke at the Red Pill, talking about systems theory, talking about, you know, having being more observant, like really sharing like spiritual principles from a scientific, you know, critically thinking mindset. You know, what he had to say was awesome. And, you know, I've got to be around people that I used to really just look up to. You know, I got to be on meet Sam Tripoli and be on that Zero podcast, you know, so it's been really cool getting to know everybody here in the Alt Media United sort of sphere. And it seems like it's growing pretty quick too.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think people got sick of the media. The alt media was all anybody wanted to do after 2020. We've said it a million times. 2020 broke through all the barriers for people, for a large majority of people to say, oh, we're getting lied to. Where can I find real information? And that's when everybody started, you know, podcasting blew up exponentially last year.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's good. I'm glad people are asking these questions. You know, I've been thinking about this shit for a long time. And I guess I'm fortunate maybe for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not, but you know, it's put me in a position to really sift through a lot of information, a lot of theories, a lot of ideas, a lot of people's projections, you know, and just kind of see and take stock of all these different, you know, ideas and beliefs about what reality is and what's happening right now. And kind of like sift a lot of things out that I feel like are unnecessary or maybe just aren't practical, right? And then like focus on what are the things that you know, are usable, that we can implement, that we can, like G. Edward Griffin said, begin to like build our own communities. And what are the powerful techniques and tools that we can use regarding that? So that's what I've been trying to focus on, at least for the past couple of years. And then I've just been kind of on YouTube being like, hey, this is a pendulum here, you know, like wink, wink, you know, like talking about the way that society is happening around us in a way that's hopefully mythical enough to where people can still understand it, but I'm not directly, you know, violating the algorithm. You know?
Right. Yeah. You won't get banned, but people still will laugh and get the point.
Yeah, it's been one of the most difficult things.
I want to try to reach new people. I mean, that's always been important to me. Like, I'm not trying to smash them over the head with an ideology or a belief system.
Oh, we are. Like that.
Glitchy a little bit.
Oh, really? Again?
Is there a delay?
Maybe. I think we're good. I'm just saying, like, just trying to reach people and hopefully inspire, you know, like, and think about how we can work together to improve our situation. Because, I mean, there's a lot of positive things that are coming as a result of such a incredibly devastating catalyst.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask that. So you have a YouTube channel. Do you have any other plugs you want to get out before we get going with our talk and just get it out of the way at the beginning?
I mean, I am... I'm addicted to Instagram a little bit, so you can follow me there.
Hell.
And then, yeah, YouTube is probably where I have the majority of a following, so you can check me out there. But I'm Bootsy Greenwald on every platform. That's my stripper name. It just became easier because my name is Owen Hunt, and that is a TV character name from Grey's Anatomy. So I had to go through and decide, hey, you know, how can I save some money on SEO or just like bone down with and become a crypto millionaire? It was one or the other.
Yeah.
And I just went with the whole, you know, pen name thing because it was just easier to find. So you guys can find me anywhere under that moniker. And yeah, YouTube, really, Instagram. I'm on all the alternative platforms too, thanks to Content Safe. Like all my shit is uploaded all over the place. So
nice.
Yeah, check out. I have way too many, like a lot of videos. I talk a lot about manifestation and creation, which I kind of throw up a little and taste stomach acid when I say the word manifestation. But it's technically accurate. I'm trying to come to terms with it and just accept it, you know? But I just think that there's a lot of spiritual teachers out there who, I don't know. I don't know if they're nescient or if they're ignorant, some of them. But I consider myself to be a blue-collar mystic. So I really want to help people digest information, understand the simplicity of metaphysics, as simple and as complicated as it is. I'm from West Georgia, so you know I grew up around a lot of meth. So I think that's part of why I want to try to just simplify things and find people who maybe wouldn't otherwise be exposed to these types of ideas, you know, existential ideas, philosophical, deep ideas. But I think they're like really rooted in us as individual people, whether you're like a deep thinker or not. Like a lot of these truths are just self-evident. They're innate, you know, like we each have genius. We each, you know, serve a purpose. You know, that's one thing I think that I guess like the flat earth community is like really run with. I got in trouble for having this map behind me on a podcast not too long ago. The comment section just blew up because I was a round earth shill.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
So you know, I'm going to get the map framed, stick it back up there. We should be good. And that way it's flat. But
I was going to ask you when you were mentioning being able to meet and hear a lot of, you know, great and powerful speakers and stuff like that. It made me wonder, is that kind of not the angle? I don't want to use that term. That's kind of a shitty word to use. But is that kind of like where your direction is headed, is more of the spiritual parts of all of these things that maybe people don't ask about? And maybe people don't even know how to ask about. Is that the kind of the driving force behind the content?
So it's interesting. I have kind of a long story with it. When I
first
got started, I first got started and I was doing, you know, like a libertarian podcast or whatever years ago. And that never really went anywhere. Then, you know, I was really depressed. Actually, when people asked me how I came to, you know, the information or whatever, it was through depression and frustration, not understanding who I was or what this was or any of that. And then I got smacked in the face with, you know, conspiracy theories in 2012, you know, and just hit it and just ate the black pill hard. And, you know, it just went straight down into my dad's basement, literally and figuratively. And so after like a year or so of that and just being literally toxically sick emotionally, energetically, I had to do something. So I started reading any self-help books that I could get. I would find a lot of my favorites are like James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, or Emerson's Self-Reliance was my book for like the longest time. And, you know, after a while, I kind of crawled out and then started trying to do different things, became an entrepreneur and started learning different skills in film and things like that. So I kind of like became myself again. It like took me a while to come out of that. But after a little while, I also discovered this other book. So I was like reading like Ayn Rand and the Kabbalion, you know, for instance. And I'm just like, if you could just take these two books and synthesize them together, that would be the perfect. And then I found this book called Reality Transurfing, and that's what it did. So when I read that book, I was blown away. I was like, holy shit, this is the Holy Grail. And now I still love that book. It's amazing what a great roadmap it is. I also discovered a guy named Robert Anton Wilson, who wrote a book called Prometheus Rising that was really influential as well. And so I just started mapping out what these people were talking about. I read as many books as I could. And then I just started like synthesizing the information and connecting the dots and presenting it in a way that's like hopefully a little bit lighthearted, you know, like bringing some levity to the depth of the mysteries of the universe or whatever.
Yeah.
Talking about trans surfing and
that I was going to ask you about that. What's up with that? Because Nick Hinton talks about that, I think, the trans surfing thing.
It's a badass book. So I created the audiobook for that. And there's like kind of a long story. I started working with that group and it didn't work out. It's another story, but I created the audiobook for Reality Transurfing. When I found it, I was like, this is it. Like I said, you know, this was the book. I was like, it really resolved individuality and being part of, you know, a collective or a collaborative or whatever. You know, a lot of people I think are triggered by the word collective. But just as far as like being a spiritual individual, an expression of the divine, of God, you know, like having this specific and unique goal. And really, he doesn't really drop the God bomb. That's more like the transcendentalist, but he's more scientific in his writing and really talking a lot about, you know, having, he says like your soul comes into the world for a toy. And so talking a lot about heart and mind and resolving those two things, that's really what a lot of that emphasis is. And recently I've been studying myth. And so in myth, there's like the myth of the golden ball or your genius, your complete self. It's like every single one of us has, you know, genius. It involves seeing like a unique perspective on life. It's like really just being who you are, you know, at a fundamental level. And that's what that book is about too. Transurfing is really about becoming your most authentic self and learning to choose, right? So he doesn't use the word manifest either. He uses the word choose because from the quantum angle, there's infinite options to choose from in the dream space or the mental space. And those two things are the same thing, which that blew my mind. I should have figured that out years before that book, but I was like, holy shit. So like the Akashic records or whatever, all that's contained in this infinite store archive in the quantum realm. So everything, because infinity exists, everything already exists. We just choose it into reality.
Nice.
And a really groundbreaking idea in that book too is called pendulums. And I've been recently getting in with one of my more woo friends into the Ascension Glossary. I don't know if you all are familiar with the Ascension Glossary, but
nope.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Please tell.
Yeah.
Pretty far out. It has a lot to do with just some deeper mysteries about what's going on. But the idea of pendulums specifically is that there are energetic informational structures or entities that, and I think I was listening to a podcast of y'all's with someone where you were kind of talking about this. You had mentioned, you know, people just kind of being you know, kind of robotic, you know, kind of being like they're almost like tuned into a certain frequency. And with the idea of pendulums, I think that the basic idea would be that if we all together started talking about a certain thing, it could be anything. We could create a sports team or a religion or a political group, whatever. Whatever that is going to have its energetic equivalent. And we're going to create that in that other like sort of space. So that's like a collaborative energy and people can hook right into that. It's kind of funny how that whole thing sort of works, right? And then basically what winds up happening is we do begin to identify with pendulums. We begin to identify with a sports team or an idea about what life should be or, you know, join the Libertarian Party. No offense to the Libertarian Party, but you know what I'm saying? Like we give ourselves our own identity over to something else that's not really who we are, right? If it's that, I use the Mormon example, a lot of feel bad. I'm not trying to pick on Mormons either, you know, but it's like, it's not his idea to put on a white shirt with no sleeves and a tie and a placard and bike around to tell you about Joseph Smith, you know?
That's and his magical
not his
plates.
Original thought. So understanding that, you know, there are energies, however that works, he likens it to like schools of fish as well and flocks of birds and things like that that don't really have a natural leader, but there's like a group mind that you can absolutely observe.
Hive mind.
Yeah, like a hive mind type of thing. So pendulums are part of that. And then getting into the Ascension glossary, that's not something I'm just starting to like look into that. I've seen like some of glossier. It's really far out. But it's talking about like that those pendulums might be like alien, like that AI is not necessarily artificial intelligence, but could be like some AI alien tech. I don't know. But I do notice and I do see, and he uses the word scripts and transurfing, that like each of these like pendulums would provoke you and you would fall into the script. It's kind of like getting into a fight. It's like, I push you on your shoulder, you push me on my shoulder, I double hand shove you. You know, there's a script, there's a thing that's supposed to happen next. And it's sort of embedded in us. And when we get swept up in these energies, we start like, we start acting and we're not even aware that we're even acting. It's like people who do like a terrible thing sometime will be like, I don't know, I just got so angry, I blacked out. You know, I don't even know what happened. You know, they're just swept away. They're like overtaken by some energy, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, that happens on a micro level too. It ends up being sociologically and culturally, there are certain ways that people go about things all over the world that's just what you do.
Right. Yeah. So he says the pendulum rule is do as I do, do as I do. So anything, and then beyond that, you know, breaking through that, I guess if the matrix is a thing, right? Like it's made of pendulums. Like that's the kind of the idea, right? Like there are these, you know, things that are just like a network of sort of things that are just harvesting energy up there. Maybe it's the archons or whatever, or yeah, like, egregores.
I can totally visualize this right now. Like your goal is to like dodge the pendulums, like somehow do something to not let it touch you or get you. Like that's what I'm seeing in my head right now.
Like a medieval gauntlet.
The egregore
like
idea.
Old black and white cartoons where they're like running across the logs and there's just the
like a video game where you have to just be like, oh, stop, hold on. All right, now go quick.
the egregore idea is interesting. I think we talked about that with Lindsay Sharman of Rogue Ways. Because I was kind of likening Jesus to an egregore. Like it's a massive, you know, worldwide thought form. Whether he's real or not, it doesn't really matter, because we were talking about how calling on Jesus like seems to stop aliens and demons and all that shit, but it could just be the power of that, you know, worldwide thought form. It's so powerful now that it doesn't really matter. It's just, it works because it is what it is.
Well, and like Lindsay said, yeah, man, Jesus is rad. He's the best ally ever.
Cool motherfucker.
Yeah, hell yeah. I got no problems with him. Absolutely. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it works. Like, and so in the transfer, and so in the hermetic model, like we would go through and put on robes and like, I don't know, touch ourselves. And I don't know what would happen after that. Like
easy.
Conjure some fucking weird, squeaky like thing from the abyss. But he's saying we don't even have to go through all the, you know, noise, you know, it's just about choosing. It's just about giving attention to that thing. It's like you said, like Jesus might not be real, but he's energetically fucking real. You know what I'm saying? Like Mickey Mouse is real. You know, in everyone's mind, they know exactly who that character is.
Worldwide.
So, yeah, dude, he's almost as big as Coca-Cola. So
he's
like,
almost as big as Jesus.
I was going to say, he might be bigger than Jesus.
He might be. Might be. But yeah, I mean, like, absolutely, that just that energetic equivalent, it's always on the other side of the mirror, right? Like, this is this physical, you know, world that we live in. It's really the shadow on the wall. And so I think a lot of people, I want to empower and encourage people who are like truthers to, you know, to take some action, to put something out into the universe that they do have a reason to be here, something to be doing. Cause I was so overwhelmed and like depressed when I first like learned about all this stuff that I was just crippled in fear, feeling like a victim. And I feel like it was just these energies that lie and trick us, right? Like that black pill philosophy. I'm the biggest white pill philosophy. Like I'm all for that. Like I know we're going
to
die.
I was just about to say that. It's funny because that almost nihilistic black pill that people get sucked into, because it's easy. It's the same thing as going through the motions in a positive manner because it's easy. It's the idea of not releasing your mind to the reality around you because it could be scary, because you may not understand it. But the problem with nihilistic thinking is that you very, very quickly tie hand in hand with victimhood. It's easy once you get in that place to immediately keep yourself in your comfort zone of nihilism or black-pilled state by blaming everything else for why you're there. And then pretty soon, that's your bubble, that's your armor, that's your tank that's how you sit there. And anybody that comes against you, you just fire back at them because you like that little zone where you hate yourself and you hate everything around you. And that's just how you're going to stay.
My idea of the black pill, though, is more of a, it's kind of what we talk about anyway, because it's like everything is so fucked, like on every dimensional level you can think of. And nobody would disagree with you on that. But no. I think the black pill comes in when you're like, we can't do anything. Like, we can't even fucking do anything about it.
I think it's less about being a victim. The black pill is more of like, I don't care. Like, you're not like sad about it. You're not worried about it. You're not like, oh, poor me. You're not poor anything. You're just like,
you're just an emo kid.
Don't care. No,
that's exactly what I said. Yeah, the black pill is like the emo pill.
Yeah. It's like, whatever, man. Nothing matters. But it's not like.
I meant that they can tie hand in hand from being one into slipping into the other.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Are,
oh, yeah, you
two
could.
Separate things. I didn't mean that they are the same, victimhood and nihilistic black pill. I'm talking about it's very easy once you accept the one to slip into the other.
Oh, yeah. It's the slow, steady slip into nihilism that, you know, you get sucked into. I fucking get sucked into it every once in a while. If I'm listening to too many shows or podcasts or listening to too much bullshit, especially political, I just get in a state where I'm like, this is fucking stupid. I hate this. Like, I hate everyone. People suck. Everybody sucks.
Yeah.
And then I listen to metal and I feel better.
I stopped listening to political podcasts for the last couple weeks because I was very, like, blackpilled, where I was like, meh, who cares? Like, not even in a bad or sad way. I just was like, I'm going to listen to music and just live my fucking life because the world might blow up tomorrow and I just want to live my life and be happy.
Yeah, I almost hope the world does blow up tomorrow.
It wasn't really blackpilled in a negative way. It was just more like, I don't want to listen to this dumb bullshit because it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Again, I agree with Corey Hughes. Where's that fucking meteor, man?
Yeah. Bring on the meteor shower.
Bring on the meteor. I want to watch.
No, like, I don't want that. I want to live.
I'll watch as long as I'm standing, you know. I mean, I'll probably get hit by one, but that would be awesome.
No, Joe always says if something negative's coming our way, I'm like, okay, we need to have a plan. We need to, like, head for the mountains. Like, we might be safe if there's a wave. And Joe's like, we'll never make it. I'm like, well, are you fucking serious? Hell no. Like, we're going to pack the car. I'm taking the kids. Like, I'm running. If you want to stay and be like, cool, a giant wave that's going to kill me, that's fine.
I'm just going to smoke a doobie.
I'm going to run.
I'm right exactly at that level where, like, if I see something coming at me that I know I'm, like, this is a perfect example, is back in the day fighting. I knew I was going to lose. I wasn't going to walk away from it, though. So it was one of those like, let's see how bad this hurts. Like, whenever something bad is coming at me, I'm more of this kind of like, just stand there and go, I kind of want to know how bad this is going to hurt before it's over. I might die. I'm not sure yet.
I have a strong urge to survive, so I think I would run away and try to survive. Climb to the tallest tree. I haven't climbed a tree in 20 years, but I will do it to survive. I don't care.
I'll try to survive. I'm not suicidal about it, but I just know it's coming for me anyway. At some point, you know, whenever my number's called, that's when it's fucking called, and I'll be
like, I'm gonna live to be 500. I tell myself that every day because the power of the mind. So I'm gonna try to live to be 500.
Why would you want to be 500?
I want to be 500 and look super young.
Have you seen an 80-year-old? Yeah. Can you imagine a 500-year-old?
Yeah, like, but
it is not cool to be 85. I've seen them.
Defense, she might make it to 500 and still look that good.
Still be flipping everybody off. I made it, you fucks.
I'll look like I'm 85, but I'm like, I'm 500.
Anyway, we get on tangents.
My mind will destroy you.
We get on tangents, man. Sorry. We just get going and all of a sudden we can't stop. But
it's that pendulum we got swept up.
Hi, we're family.
Yeah. Tell me more about your project, though. Is that your YouTube stuff? The Finding Purpose? You said it's about Finding Purpose.
Yeah. I put a course together to try to help people because I had like a lot of struggles with that. Like I had to know, I'm like, what is my purpose? It was a lot of tug of war. It was dramatic. I'm clearly a Spanish woman in a lumberjack's body.
It was one of those.
It was very Shakespearean, you know. But through that whole process, I feel like I've learned a lot. And through all the books, you know, that I've read, I feel like I've learned a lot. So I do coaching. I do like one-on-one stuff with people. And I wanted to offer something that for anybody who couldn't afford to like work with me one-on-one or whatever, they could just, it's really approachable, just like a video course series on finding purpose, like finding like a purpose statement for your life that you can build on, that you can kind of attach to. So you can, it's not the same as like what you do. Like, this is the fallacy that we have as our culture, you know, like, each one of us has like a genius take. Like, we each have something I believe in my philosophy, that we are uniquely here for, to give, like a gift, a talent that is unlike anybody else, that will never be replicated.
I agree.
Every human being is, you know, a unique expression, like snowflakes, the good kind. The good kind of snowflakes. Each one is very, you know, unique. And so that's kind of what I put together through the Transcendentalist and Transurfing and all these things. Transurfing, he talks about your goal. Emerson and Self-Reliance, he talks about doing your work. I think these are all connected. They're all part of like your essence. And so like finding what that is and being connected to it. Even the Greeks, you know, like getting into the myth stuff, Temet Nosce, you know thyself. That's really what it's all about. And I think all of that is really all tied together, right? Like understanding who we are at a deep level. I mean, it changes everything. And that's not our role in society. It's not what we do. It's like, my purpose is never going to be, I'm a podcaster. You know what I'm saying? That's just something that I do. Or like, I'm a farmer. You know, I might be a farmer. I might be a podcaster. I might have several different roles that I fill in society, but that's not who I am. You know what I mean? Like, I remember working in college. I was in a kitchen, this place called Loco's, which wasn't a Chinese restaurant or a Mexican restaurant. it was like a wing place. But I used to be like back there smacking it up on the paddles on the grill. And I would be getting yelled at by my boss, and like a sandwich would like fly by my head because he was literally that mad. And I would just look around, look at back at him and be like, look, bro, I'm not a goddamn sandwich, you know? Like, stop yelling Philly cheesesteak at me, you know? That's not who I am. And so I feel like, you know, we're taught in our society to be like, I'm a therapist, I'm a doctor, I'm a, you know what I mean? Like, that's the role.
That's your box, that's your role.
Yeah, yeah, that's who you are now. Like, you're waiter number two in the credits, and that's who all you are in your movie, you know? But I don't believe that. I believe that we have a specific, you know, sort of reason for being through like ikigai, is like a Japanese philosophy. I brought that into, I appropriated some Japanese philosophy into this shit too.
Oh, hello. It's just
stuff from all over the place. And so, but I believe that there's like an initial purpose, and then outwardly there are like, you can build on it through layers. And I brought a bunch of people into like my other, into my course to talk about things that I didn't know about. You know, it's like, I thought this particular topic is important. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. So let me bring Sunil Gansi in to talk about intuitionology. He has like a TED talk on it. So he talks a lot about like hearing our intuition, the four different types, how to do that, you know, things like that, that are like really helpful tools that kind of add to the experience. So I just kind of like cultivated and curated a bunch of information and tried to shorten it into the shortest, most, I don't know, like
presentation,
convenient, simple,
easily digestible,
all these things, like, right? just to synthesize it and bring it to people and give them some exercises and some tools to find out, you know, who they are at a deep level. Because like my purpose statement, for instance, is I'm here to bring people joy. And that's the first like layer, right? Like I'm pretty jolly, you know? And when I used to do like the libertarian podcast or like smash people on the head with my philosophy, cause I'm fucking right, goddamn it. So listen to me. It didn't really go so well, you know? And so the same is true. For instance, if I am doing stand-up comedy, if I come out there and I'm like trying to chop people down with a hatchet, usually the audience kind of pulls back a little bit, especially in today's times and age, just going up there looking the way that I do is almost enough for people to be standoffish.
You're kind of I like it. You got kind of a Tom Segura look, and you
I
was about to say, looking at you, I might just laugh.
Whatever.
Ben's just projecting because people laugh at him when they look at him. Do you have
because I laugh at myself.
Do you have like a meditation practice? Do you do a daily, like, do you have any kind of like thing like that? Cause that seems to go hand in hand with all the shit you're into.
Yeah, man. So I've definitely been around the spiritual community for a few years, you know, and I do like yoga. I like meditation. I like those things. What I do now is like just basically a short gratitude practice every morning and every night. And it's not really that long. I've just noticed that the power of memory is really, really powerful. Like, I mean, there's just a lot we can do with just that. And a lot of the people that I really look up to, like, I've done a lot of their meditations and they're great. But basically, you know, it's just about like cultivating a feeling of like love, like unconditional, hopefully, right? In your body. Like, so I will lay in bed in the morning for 5 to 10 minutes and think about, you know, either a situation or a person, someone close to me, a pet, somebody or something that I just have an affinity for that morning, like, and just begin the day with just positive emotions.
I think that's something that a lot of people don't take into consideration, how much it affects you. People forget that thankfulness and gratitude for what you have can literally change the entire course of your day, which then changes how you look at everything that happens in that day, and it can snowball. I heard a quote years ago when I was in the academy, and it has stuck with me ever since. If you want more of what you have, you won't always have to have what you want. And the longer that I've thought about that, and the longer that my life has gone on, the more it's totally true. Like, if you just look around at everything that you have, things that you've worked for, things that you've been given, you realize how much grace each and every one of you has gotten in your lives. There's no reason why you should wake up, no matter what you're going through, and be so unbelievably distraught that you can't look at life and the rest of the day that happens. And I know that that's not easy at all, but I think people take for granted thankfulness, because
that's why it's a practice, is because you literally have to, it's like a muscle, you got to work on doing that. And like,
true,
that, I like how you just said, it just kind of whatever pops into your head in the morning, that's what you'll focus on. That's probably a good way to go, because it's your subliminal or your subconscious, you know, bringing something up that you're thinking about, apparently. So you might as well, you know, start the day with that and focus on that for a little bit, instead of waking up and being like, fuck my life, I have to go to work, because that's what
right,
I do.
Right. I used to get up and like watch people get like stabbed on Twitter, but like I had to stop doing it.
That's because, a good like, way to wake up too.
If that's what you get off on, you know, Joe, it's all good. But like, puts you in a chirpy mood in the morning, if you spring out of bed to bloodshed in the streets of some new city.
Oh, instant boner. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Right.
It's not morning wood. It's just how he wakes up excited about violence.
Yeah. Our like, sex life is interesting.
I do that, but it's with watching the videos of Apache helicopters blow people up.
I'm like, babe, I just saw this beheading video. Get over here. I'm going to do you so nasty.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Well, another tangent. So, anyway, really about gratitude. Let's bring it back to gratitude, guys.
Whatever you can be grateful for, it's a gift, you know? But yeah, I think like putting ourselves at the cause instead of the effect. That's my big takeaway from last year, right? Because I would like wake up and immediately just like sink into, and that does snowball. If it's positive or negative, doesn't matter. Whichever way, you know, whichever way you started out, that's how it's going to probably continue to go. It's your birthright to feel good in your body. No matter what is happening, we're allowed to feel good. Like, you can throw me in the train or whatever, and I'm going to be fucking cracking jokes the whole way. It's not going to,
absolutely,
you know, it's not going to change the way that, you know, that's our right. Like, we're sovereign beings regardless. I mean, you could pretend we're not, you could treat people in weird ways and make them do stuff, but like, it's never going to matter. So I think it's really important. I want people to feel good in their body. And it, you know, it's like, for me, I have to kind of watch what I consume, you know, because I just got into that like headspace for so long where I was like just in a lot of negative thinking and victimhood. Everybody's different. Some people want to see blood immediately when they get out of bed in the morning. Other people, you know, it's like I start out with like froyo and sprinkles, you know, so
yeah.
It's the same but different, and so that's the big practice that I recommend to people. Just however you can, get into a positive mood as soon as you possibly can in the day, whatever that takes. Gratitude is amazing. A lot of people take gratitude journals, but they forget to feel the gratitude.
Yes.
Whatever you have to do to feel, like Neville Goddard says the feeling is the secret. If you never take anything else from Neville Goddard's work, that is such a powerful statement, especially when it comes to the law of attraction and manifestation. But feeling good in your body, like, it is magnetic. Like, it makes people endeared to you, you know? So yeah, there is something to that. And when we cultivate those feelings that we want from the world in our own body, we start to like generate that. And it does make life easier. It makes life better. Even from just a practical standpoint, if I'm in a good, optimistic mood, then I'm going to notice an opportunity. If I'm pissed off at the world, I'm not even going to look up.
Yeah.
So just from a practical perspective, but like getting into like the whole vibration stuff and like, you know, Neville Goddard, like the feeling being the secret, that is what visualization is based on. Like, you don't visualize to see something and then you get that. That's not how it works. You visualize to create the feeling in your body so that that's broadcast, you know? So the way that the universe communicates is not really through image or, through language, you know, but through feeling.
Like, yeah. So, and there is definitely something to that. I always used to think it was the hokiest shit when the people talk about manifestation. They're like, you just have to imagine it and then you'll have a fucking $1 million. I'm like, if that worked, everybody would be a millionaire because everybody wants that. But
if
it's
you
more
think
of a,
about it, yeah. But if you're thinking about it, then you're going to be thinking about more. How can I get there? And then what are the next steps? And like you said, you'll notice opportunities more. You'll be paying attention to things like that to help you get to that place.
Well, I heard a guy the other day, I can't remember what show it was on, but he was talking about being a millionaire is the easiest shit in the world, because if that's your focus, that's the one thing you want to do is make $1 million. You will. It's no problem. You'll sacrifice a lot of other shit along the way, like time with your family, or, you know, you might live in utter poverty for 10 years until you make that $1 million, but you can do it. But most people aren't willing to, you know, put the sacrifices in to get that.
The imagining thing in that, what's it called? The abandonment book. They talk about, and I remember the same idea, through sales training, is if you end up getting up every day and you make your bed, always start with making your bed. I think there was an admiral.
That's
that
a Jordan
a
Peterson
that,
thing
because
too.
If nothing else is accomplished the rest of your day, the last thing that you'll do is come home to a made bed. And it snowballs, because then that one small thing will do the next thing. Well, in sales, they talk about like how you dress a lot of time influences how you deliver your sales pitch. And so like if you put on a suit and you do your hair nice and you make yourself appear as somebody who knows what they're talking about, you will inevitably come across your delivery like that because you're promoting that image. And then what that does is that gives you outcomes. And so they would always say, like, with that idea, hang around people, going back to the sociological things of kind of being trained to do certain things. When you start hanging out with successful people, you start hanging out with people on podcasts that think the same way with you, pretty soon you will start to deliver in your life those things. So going to what Joe was talking about with the manifestation and the imagination thing, I can completely see that. In that book, they were talking about, I want you with zero limitations to imagine your dream house. I want you to start at the front door, and then I want you to open that door and I want you to walk in. What's the first thing you see? And pretty soon, by the end of that chapter, you have placed nightstands and tables and all of this stuff made out of specific materials. You really garner this image. And then it was like, imagine yourself actually living there. What are the feelings that you would feel if you finally got into that dream house? Now go with those feelings into the rest of your day. Be looking for opportunities to make that feeling be an actual delivery in your life of things that come your way, and you will inevitably start to do that exact thing. And it's extremely difficult, because it, just like diet or just like working out, it takes one thing when you're first starting these kind of ideas to get completely derailed and you go, ah, fuck it. And you crawl back in your hole. I'll try again tomorrow. And it takes a lot of practice. Like Joe said, it's like muscle memory. You have to get into a position where things bounce off of you and you go, I don't give a shit. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to be thankful. And I'm headed in a direction without, you know, like he said, without sacrificing a bunch of shit in the process.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And to that point, like, reaction is creation. In each one of those moments, that's where we have the opportunity. Are we going to, like, surrender, or are we going to just be like, all right, cool, this fucking sucks. You're allowed to acknowledge that, by the way. Like, toxic positivity is not cool.
Right.
They call it spiritual bypassing, but just being like, okay, this is tough. This is definitely not what I wanted or thought would happen.
It's like that meme of somebody in hell and everything's burning and they're like, this is fine.
This is fine.
Everything's fine. It's fine.
Hey, what's up, Satan? How's it going?
But looking
yeah,
good.
The idea of like nonlinear causality too, is to your point about like putting on that suit, like, and then talking and being around those people. There's also the law of five, or the rule of five. The five people you're around the most, you take on their traits. So you'll have the same income level, et cetera. But the nonlinear causality aspect of that is something that I think is really something worth keying on, right? Like, so as an example, if I tripped over this rug and fell, you know, what would be the cause of that? Well, it could have been that the rug was in the wrong place, or there was a wrinkle in it, or my foot gave out,
or you were shitty drunk, or
somebody decorated my house wrong. So there's no one cause for that. So for every cause that we create, for every action or decision that we make in the world, there's going to be nonlinear, you know, effects from that that aren't just like an immediate thing. So putting that suit on, you know, and, you know, doing your hair nice, you know, good for you, Lucky, with your fancy hair, you know, but all that stuff, you know, that all adds up in these small ways to a completely different result than it had you wore different clothes. And you can't say that it's just the clothes. It's all these other elements as well.
Well, I think, yeah, because the clothes would be like a byproduct of your mental state to begin with, because you would be thinking about it and doing your clothes that way with the anticipation that it was going to help you. So your mental state's already better instead of just going to work like I do, looking like dog shit every day.
And that high energy that people can bring to work is so like magnetic as well. When people walk in and they just, but it attracts people to them. Like, they want to listen to them. They want to hear them talk. When people walk in with an awesome attitude and they're super positive, and but not in a cheesy fake way, it's almost like, it's almost, you can tell when it's fake, but when it's a genuine positivity, that is so magnetic to people.
I've definitely had coworkers that are, like you said, toxic positivity, where it's fucking annoying. Like, even
different.
If I'm in a good mood, they piss me off, because I'm like, dude, it's not that great of a day, okay? Like, it's hot as shit, and we're busy, and stop being so...
When you can tell that there's something strange going on with us as far as hokey, weird vibrations around us, when we can pretty much tell subtly when someone's being fake positive, even if it appears that they're being genuine, we won't be as drawn to it as when they're... I mean, I guess if you pay attention to it, but...
Do you do any dream work or anything? Because that's something I'm always super interested in, but I just don't have the discipline to do a dream journal, but I heard that's an important thing. But do you fuck around with that at all? Do you take dreams into account, or
do you remember your dreams?
Not all the time, but sometimes you wake up from a dream and you're like, you just have that feeling, like you'll get a flashback during the day too, where you're like, oh yeah, I had this weird fucking dream, and kind of remember like a scenario you were in, but not remember super details. And then there's other times you wake up and I could tell you every fucking detail, and it was weird as shit. Like, there was a snake and a dog, and it ate the dog, and, you know, just weird, whatever you're dreaming about. But
Joe, with that, the one thing that I've never been able to get over is, even when I wake up and can't remember a dream for shit, what I can't ever escape is the feeling that dream created. It's negative or positive, it's scary, it's hyperventilating, or it's crying or whatever, and you wake up and you go, well, I really wish I remembered what it was that made me cry and kind of want to hide under the covers, but I can't.
Yeah.
To answer your question, I do some dream work. I'm not an expert. I have a friend who is, and I have like a lot of really amazing people that are part of my network. Dreaming is an interesting topic. Castaneda is kind of the foremost expert on that. There was a lot of Russian stuff that I read called the Dream Searchers, and they basically based a lot of their stuff on Castaneda. There was some other tools as well. One thing you might try if it's easier, than writing down your dreams. Cause like a lot of times you wake up out of that kind of state and you can't even read your own writing afterward. But if you can start to journal down or map out, even if it's chicken scratchy or bad looking, a map of the places that you go when you dream, that can help you to be more realize that you're dreaming in the dream.
Instead of putting it in words, actually drawing a picture of whatever you were dreaming.
I have a whole note section in my phone that's just dedicated to dreams.
Long ones in there too.
I do. I'm very descriptive. I remember all my dreams and they're very specific. But I have the same thing where I couldn't write them down, or I make the mistake of thinking I'll remember it because it was so vivid and so strong. And then I go back to sleep, and the more I try to remember it, I'm like watching it slip away as I try to remember it. So super important to,
the more you,
do you know
focus,
what I'm talking about?
The more you focus on it, the more you're like,
it's the worst feeling. I'm like, wait, but it's right there. No. So you have to write it down immediately, and don't even think that you're strong enough to fucking remember it, people, because you will not. So it sucks.
I can totally relate to that on a joke writing front too. You know, I'll be like, oh, that's hilarious. I'll definitely remember that one.
And then you're like, what was that? What was it about? And you go back and try to think of the things you were thinking of at the time. And that's the worst.
I hate is when I can remember it, but I don't know how to describe it, which is, it's very frustrating for me because I'm usually very descriptive. I'm very good at that. But it's like getting really hammered. Where you wake up the next day and you have all these pieces of the puzzle, and they, you know that they're all in the same segment of time, but you can't really remember the segues between the events. And so you're like, I was here, and then randomly I was just in this other place, and you were there, but you didn't look like you, but I knew you were you. And it's like all that you can remember them, but you don't know how they transitioned whatsoever.
So you should you should write it down that exact way. So that is exactly almost word for word, like how I write mine down. I'll be like, all of a sudden some random dude was there. I don't know who he was. Like, I write my dreams down that way because I think I've gone back later and been like, oh, I remembered something else. So it might it might jog your memory to do that. I don't know. Just a suggestion.
It might if I ever remembered my dreams or dreamed for that matter. It's a very rare special occasion when I dream. And when I do, I'm usually like, that was weird.
Man, I feel like I go to a different dimension every night. That's what I think dreams are. But I'm a crazy person.
What happens?
Oh, yeah.
Well, according to Vadim's model, you know, and actually several other models. There's a short book, too. But basically, your soul flies out of your body every night, and when you dream and you go and explore like the infinite mental space.
Yeah.
The idea, it's kind of like an astral projection or
that's
something
so
like
cool.
that.
So do you think that's
a dimension that actually exists
that you're in at that time, or is it just the astral plane from what I understand is kind of more of a construct of anything that can be. So it's just your brain, your soul, whatever, like just experiencing whatever it wants to experience, or is
exactly
it actually
exactly that? Yes.
So it's a choice.
Going out and being like, I want to have a fucking crazy experience. I want to, you know, like run from a criminal. I want to shoot somebody. Yeah, your soul's a kinky motherfucker, and it runs out into this space of alternative every piece of information existence every night, and just has runs amok and just has a field day just doing whatever.
I'll run the fuck out of amok.
I want to know why we forget the beginning of how it starts, how a dream starts. Yes. You know, like, I want to know what happens right before. Like, is it a choice? Like, does my soul say, what do I want to do today? This click, or do I get sucked into something else? And I'm like, okay, shit, I'm here now. I guess I'm doing it.
Right. Well, that was like sim theory. Does your soul have like a list of things and it pushes a button and says, I kind of want to do this shit tonight? Or is it just sitting on a park bench somewhere in the ether going, well, let's make some shit up?
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's hard to figure out if dreams mean anything, because you think about precognitive dreams or dreams that come true. I've had those, and that was more like, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show, but I had a dream about how to do a level in Mario when I was like 10 or 12. Like,
we've mentioned it, yes.
Yeah, and it worked, and I was like tripped out by it because I'm like, I dreamed how to fix this problem on this level, and then it fucking worked. So my brain was just, or my soul, whatever, it was figuring some shit out. But what
your soul was like, I'm going to go into some kid's body who's better at this video game.
Yeah, how do you think that ties into like precogs type stuff? Because if it's your soul just like heading out to have a jolly good time while you're asleep, is it figuring shit out at the same time that it can bring back into this dimension?
Before you answer that, to his support, when he woke up at like 5:15 that morning. He was like 12 years old, and he woke my ass up, and he was like I'm on the top bunk, and he like over the top bunk was like, dude, I think I know how to do that level. And we immediately went out to the living room, and he turned it on. He was like, it was like at 12 years old, he just snorted a line. Like, he was sitting there and he was like, argh.
Well, and typically our mom wouldn't let us just turn on video games early in the morning, but right. I was probably more like, hang on, mom, I got shit to do.
Like
I can't let this leave. Like, I figured something out. I will deal with my punishment later, but I have to do this.
And it was funny because when he told me about it, I'm like, okay, bud, it's 5:15 in the morning. I'm 8. I don't care. We'll play this later. But I was like, all right, I'll go see.
No, I had
and
to
so
do
we
it.
Went, we went out there, and when he showed me and it worked, I was like, you dreamed this? And he's like, yeah. And I honestly didn't think it was going to work. I'm all.
Anyway,
go ahead and answer the question.
I was gonna say.
Badass. I think so. To answer your question, yes, I do think so. I think that there's a lot of things that we're compressing and processing and, you know, things like that. You know, I think that dreams can speak to us. I think it's, the Transurfing book says not to interpret dreams, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. It depends on the person, you know. He also says that we can, like, in lucid dreams, so he talks a lot about lucid dreams actually in practicing intention. So if you've ever become aware of the fact that you're dreaming mm-hmm. while you're dreaming, it's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I would love to do that
on
purpose.
Never been able to hold on to it.
It does slip away. You get all excited, and then you wake up. Yeah, I've done that a bunch.
that's another thing that Joe did. He remembered the next day, probably all around the same age. I think he was doing stuff that nobody knew about. He woke up the next day and said that he had a dream that he was in church, and he realized he was dreaming. And so just to see what would happen, he like stood up in the middle of church and like ran up on stage and started jumping around the pews and stuff. And then he said that that lasted, you know, in the dream, maybe about 5 minutes, and then he woke up. And I'm like,
he got too excited. He was like, oh, this is great.
I love that, dude. You're such a punk rocker, man. I love that.
I'm so horrible at lucid dreaming that when I've realized that I'm lucid dreaming, I'm like, oh, cool. I want to fly. And then my brain keeps me asleep, but is also like, you can't fucking fly. And I can't.
And sometimes I know. And no. Yeah,
that's
does,
totally
no, that
happened
your,
to me.
Your soul's all no.
Yeah, but I'm still sleeping. I don't wake up. I'm just like, God damn it! But I'm awake. Ugh, it's the worst. It's the most negative.
Like tests. Like my friend Abby will tell me, like she's much better at dreaming than I am. But you know, you should be able to stick your hand through a wall. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she'll be dreaming. She's like, I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming. And then she'll go to stick her hand through a wall, and she can't do it. You know, she's like,
yeah.
What the fuck? You know, like, I'm in a dream. I'm lucid. I should be able to do it. So I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a lot of mystery to it. But precog, man, I have a friend who has snow dreams right before people die.
Weird.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Wild.
That's heavy.
Yeah. But, you know, there are other things, too. There's a lot of magic in dreams, for sure. And being something's happening there. We should, I think, try to be more aware of it. I think that sometimes I don't think that every dream like necessarily means something, but I do think that sometimes our body or even our subconscious, they're kind of linked in a lot of ways. It could be trying to tell us something, right?
Yeah.
In Ben's case, I think what his dreams are telling him are to get more sleep.
And I would concur because I'm highly, highly insomniatic. And
unless it's during the day, you don't have a problem taking a fucking nap during the day, but you can't go to sleep at midnight.
No, that's from not getting sleep the night before. And I usually power through, and then still 9 o'clock runs around, and I'm like, hey.
That, I do the same thing though too, and I'm not even like that, but I'll catch that second wind, you know, and I'll be fucking tired all day, and then it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, ding dong, ding dong dong, yay, I'm awake.
Well, yeah,
and then not be able to go to sleep.
It's very different, the mental versus the physical, because like, you know, a year and a half ago, when Katie first left on her first deployment, I, for 3 weeks, would get 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, because it was impossible for me to go to bed. I would be extremely tired all day from only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and I'd hammer through it, and then come about 10 o'clock at night, I would be exhausted, I'd lay down to go to bed, and my mind was like, nope.
Is one of those where you like lay down, you close your eyes, and then immediately the alarm clock goes off?
Yeah, well, no, it was like, no, it was like I would go to bed, and I would try you know, like calming music, Marconi Union, Liquid Mind, things of that nature. I'd put those on. I would make sure that I had eaten enough. I would try valerian root, melatonin, all of these different things, and it just didn't work. And so I would sit there, and I started realizing through this last year and going to therapy and a couple other things that it's like, yeah, what your brain needs to do is from about 9 o'clock until you fall asleep, you need to start running through all the things that keep you awake until your mind is satisfied with figuring it out the way it needs to so that you can go to bed.
You got that from mom.
And it does help.
She tries to solve the world's problems at night and she can't sleep because of it. You definitely got that from her. And not maybe solving the world's problems.
It's not even the world's problems. It's just mine.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, man. That's when it kicks into high gear late at night.
Yeah. Yeah. You end up when you get that second wind, but you know you're tired. It's this awful revolving door because the overtiredness is making you not think correctly, and because you're not thinking correctly, you can't sleep, and then you get more tired, and it's fucking awful.
So I don't have a problem. I don't really have a problem going to sleep most of the time. What I have a problem with is waking up in the middle of the night and then staying asleep. Because have you ever had that thing where you wake up and you're you go pee or do whatever and you lay back down and then you're like half asleep for literally the rest of the night.
Yep.
And it's that, you know, you're kind of half asleep and you're like half dreaming some weird shit, but you still know you're in bed and you can't get comfortable. And it's like, just daylight, just let me go to work or something. Like, I'm so fucking tired of doing this, but that only happens once in a while. Yeah.
We have a rooster and our rooster just became a rooster. It was a chick. And now it's a rooster. So we know that because it crows. Yeah, we thought it was a girl. I actually pretended it was a girl. I was one of those parents who wanted my child to be a girl no matter what. And I was just like, this is a girl. We're naming you Gretchen. And it was like, ah, 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 like at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's awful. It's so bad. It's on the other side of our house. And this morning for the first time, I got up at 5. And it, like, just to pee, go back to bed, because we power through water, like, all night. Like, we drink these stupid sparkling waters, like, nonstop. So we get up and pee like old people, like, 4 times a night. It's really bad. Yeah. So I laid down and I was like, oh, it's okay if I hear the rooster sometimes. No big deal. It was so loud. It was like it was right next to my head, and it was across the yard on the other side of the house. And I just didn't sleep from 5:08 a.m. until 6:45 a.m. And I'm like,
I did that the other day.
I wish I could sleep right now.
I got up and was like, he's about to become a fucking sandwich. Because
no,
I'm sick of this.
We're not going to kill him. We just have to figure something else out.
Last night, I went over to their house for a barbecue, and he was talking about this chicken. He goes, so next barbecue, you might just come into a very, very fresh beer butt smoked chicken.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never woken up to him. Actually, ironically, Ben, in my head, I was like, I've never heard that rooster. Joe's exaggerating. We're never gonna kill that rooster. And then this morning I was like, we might kill that rooster. All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
I might not even eat it. I might just chuck it over the fence or something.
We're not really doing that. We're not really doing that. We love our rooster. We're not going to hurt him.
It's not worth, like, his stupid ass is not worth picking all the feathers off. Like, I'll just snap his neck and toss him.
Stop it.
No.
No.
That's not real. That's not real.
Joe, I have a really easy way to do this. You get 2 wheels that are rubber inside of a burn barrel, and you can just, like, hand crank it. And then what you do is, after you chop off the head, you put it down, and the feathers actually pull the chicken apart and tear off all the feathers.
Dude, Ben, stop. You're talking about my rooster. That's so gross. We're not killing my rooster. I love him. He's just loud.
What was your rooster's name?
Well, it was Gretchen, but we renamed it.
Fluid rooster.
We renamed it Walter. So we have to. We named them old people names. So
because they're fucking.
We named our one hen Esther, and the other one was Gretchen. And then when we found out it was male, we were like, "All right, he can be Walter." But we went through lots of old man names before we chose Walter. So it's Walter and Esther are our chickens.
The only people I know that would actually like. Take time to think about
what the it was my I was like they have animals. To be old people names.
Well, as
Esther
we
Esther May and Walter Dean.
Yeah, ooh, there you go. I didn't even think of middle names.
Oh yeah, we could that's super old person needs to do a
anyway,
middle name.
Anyway, sorry, we got off on a really big tangent.
But yeah, before we wrap up though, do you want to anything else you want to cover? You want to plug your shit again? Like fuck it.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm doing other stuff. I've got I'm going to be talking at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival in Michigan.
Oh, cool. And where in Michigan?
It's near Flint.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what city actually it is, but I'm going to do some like I don't know. I'm going to do like a, it's not going to be like just stand-up comedy. I don't want to like just do fart jokes. You know what I mean? I got tons
Why not?
Sure. But
right.
But
I get it though.
Connect with people. I think it's, I want to have like a cool performance there, and then I'll probably do, like comedy karaoke the second night or something fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like party it up a little bit with the people there. That's the first weekend or second weekend on August. So it's like August 12th or 11th or something like that.
Nice.
And then I'm doing the Magic on the Mountain with the Grimerica guys with Joe Roop and Brandon Powell in Arizona in February of next year. So those are like live things that I'm going to
do. Nice.
Doing. And so those two things are going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. I'm going to be talking to Grimerica guys here in I think a few days.
Nice.
As well as Joe Roop. But I mean, I'm really excited about that. So that's like some live stuff. I'd love to plug that. If you guys want to come hang out with some cool people, open-minded folks, come to either the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival in August or come to the thing in Arizona. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Magic on the Mountain, is that what it's called?
Magic on the Mountain. Yeah, it's
one what of is it?
America's retreats.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I've Grimerica scheduled back again, and Joe Roop. I think I have to look at the schedule, but I think I scheduled Joe Roop in too. Nice. We tried to get him on a couple weeks ago, but he had some stuff going on. But yeah, we love the Grimerica guys.
Yeah, he moved out to Arizona, I think. So he's, you know,
I think he was moving the weekend that he was supposed to come on our show.
Yeah,
he was like moving that weekend, and he's like, "I'm moving. Can we do it tomorrow?" And we were like, "Take some time, dude. It's okay."
It's awesome though. The Union of the Unwanted really opened up a lot of cool people to talk to. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Right, we appreciate it. You killed it.
Thank you so much.
I love your take on life and everything else. It's great. It's a nice.
It's actually right up our alley. We talk about this stuff all the time. Like, this isn't weird. You were like, "Oh, this stuff's pretty out there." And I was like, "Oh, you must not know about our show." Like, this is like what we talk about.
Yeah, I have to study up on the Ascension Glossary. I definitely am not an expert on that, but it's interesting. Just Google Ascension Glossary.
I did. I already bookmarked it. I'm going to look it up. Weird. That's so cool.
I appreciate the positive outlook on things that we generally talk about. It's very easy to get negative and turn dark, and I really appreciated the more positivity as a guest. And thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Joe and Jen. Y'all are great. We should definitely do this again. I'll happily have you guys on and come talk to me on my podcast. This like whole, you know, group is really cool and empowering, and I'm happy to be affiliated with y'all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me know if I can do anything for you. I'm around, you know.
Oh yeah, right. No, we'll have you back so on for sure, man. Sorry about the live stream, anybody who tried to tune in, we suck and I don't know what the fuck to do, but there's always the audio, so fucking enjoy. We'll see you next time.
All right,
ta-ta.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.